Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. I got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, guess what? Rocket can. A very special gift to our hour number four listeners, the final hour of the mothership. A Canadian bacon coming your way in 20 minutes. Indeed. Usually, bacon is earlier in the morning, but now you, the lucky listeners of hour number four, get a full recap of last night's playoff pucks, complete with ridiculous Mraz puns, coming your way in 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, advanced analytics concerning Ben Simmons, actually concerning the end of last night's game number two, win by the Phoenix Suns. And I'm going to talk about Ben Simmons as part of my NBA conversation at the top of this hour coming up here shortly. But we were just talking about the NBA lottery first, because last night was the lottery and the first pick of the draft is going to be the Detroit Pistons. And you could almost guarantee they're going to take Cade Cunningham, who should be the number one pick in this draft. He should be. He is the greatest natural scorer and I think perfectly suited for the NBA game because of his length and because of his array of moves, that I think that it's obvious Cade Cunningham's going to be a Detroit Piston and there's not going to be much debate over it. Although the top of the draft is very good and this is one of the deeper drafts in recent years. Jason tweets, "Hey, DA, what'd you think about that fade for Cade?" Jason, I think it worked, and I think it's going to pay dividends because Cade Cunningham's a very, very good player. In terms of winners, as I had mentioned, look, ultimately, the Houston Rockets had a disastrous season. They were 17-55. They were the worst record of the NBA. They did not end up winning the number one pick of the draft. They end up sliding to number two. But I will say I do think that the Rockets end up being winners here, because the Rockets were competitors, contenders for a long, long time. Couldn't get over the hump, but were contenders. Then took one step back this year, and it was a huge step back, and end up landing the number two pick of the draft. So if you're going to be bad, you better have something to show for it. And in this draft, which has really good players at the top of the draft, being number two is a good thing. It's a very good position to be in. Winners, as I mentioned, Orlando has two picks in the top eight. They get their number five pick, their own pick, and then the pick from the Bulls from the trade deadline deal. So that's a big deal for Orlando, two picks of the top eight. In terms of losers, and Toronto, by the way, big winner moving up from number seven to number four. I think in terms of losers of this lottery, to me, the biggest loser is Oklahoma City. because the Thunder had a chance to collect multiple top five picks if the ping pong balls fell their way, including the Houston ping pong balls, and it didn't. So OKC, which has stacked all of these draft picks after trading away all of their stars, flipping all of their assets, looking for the next trade partner, and stacking first rounder after first rounder, OKC end up having the sixth pick overall this year and the 16th pick overall in the Kemba for Al Horford deal to the Celtics. But in terms of all of the draft collateral and trying to find that next superstar, number 6 and 16 aren't necessarily going to be the places that you can slam dunk find that. So I think if there's any loser out of this, it was OKC, who could have had a huge haul last night. The ping pong balls didn't fall their way. Mraz, winners and losers from last night's lottery in your mind?
Well, I think the Orlando Magic still have to be considered a winner just from the standpoint of having those kind of picks up top. Remember, obviously, this was a team with playoff aspirations heading into this season. They end up, obviously, trading Vujicic, and now they end up in a spot where, what is it, they have two of the top seven picks, I believe, if I read that correctly.
Two of the top eight.
Two of the top five and eight. Either way, I know that they aren't in the top four in that spot, but I still think coming from where they came from for a year of playoff expectations to getting two picks in the top eight, I think is an enormous success and an enormous win for them. Obviously, a loss, if you're going to call it that, probably Golden State, although they do have the two picks. Just the idea that as you continue, and last year adding James Wiseman to build, to not, and I know that they ended up playing in that play-in game, so you can't necessarily assume that, but even with the Minnesota selection, to not get in the, you know, that top two range there, to find another foundation piece to quickly accelerate this thing behind Steph Curry and a returning Klay Thompson, I think would find themselves a bit in the loser range for me.
Okay. Oklahoma City had a chance to be two top five picks in the draft between the Rockets pick that was protected if it was as high as it ended up being and their own pick, and they ended up getting 0 for the two in terms of the top five. They ended up getting six and then not receiving the Rockets pick, which will roll over. So those are my winners and losers from last night's lottery. In terms of last night's game, what an awesome game and what an awesome performance by the Suns to be able to find ways to win both games at home minus Chris Paul. When Paul went down or was removed from the roster, removed from the games due to COVID protocol before the conference finals began, it seemed like such a devastating turn of events for a franchise that was finally feeling really good about itself. Obviously, they had swept through the second round. Suns in four guy had become a local hero. The Suns were finally rested and ready and in the conference finals for the first time in 10 years. And Chris Paul was going to have time to rest up and get right as well. And then the COVID thing hits. Paul going to be out indefinitely. Got to start the series without him. Two home games. You don't have him for either one. And they find a way to win both of them on this incredible inbounds play last night. It's a great play drawn up by Monty Williams. It's a great finish by DeAndre Ayton, and it's a great two victories minus Chris Paul. A shout out to DeAndre Ayton, who has had the fate of being compared to Luka Doncic and Trae Young, who were drafted after him in that draft, and not being those guys, specifically Luka. Luka's going to be an NBA MVP candidate for the rest of his career. Trae Young is clearly turning into an assassin, especially in big clutch moments in the playoffs. And DeAndre Ayton's been a seven-footer, kind of drafted in the old-school mold of, well, you can't pass up a big man, even if that big man was Sam Bowie or Greg Oden or Michael Olowokandi or Kwame Brown. Top number one picks where, even if they weren't as good as other players of the draft, front office people just thought, well, you got to take them because they're bigs. And DeAndre Ayton was okay, but not great and certainly not Luka. And some thought that he was never going to be what he really could be because he didn't have the motor, didn't have the work ethic, what have you. And also he was on a roster with a team and a franchise that always seemed to be the worst team in the West. Well, the last 2 years, Monty Williams has worked really hard with DeAndre Ayton. And this year specifically, Ayton has turned a corner. And right now in the postseason, Ayton is on a historic run of 20-10 games. And he has become a dominant force of the middle for a squad that has a great perimeter player already in Devin Booker. And so the inside-outside combination of Booker and Ayton, it sounds right in theory. You've got the guard, now you want the big man. But recent years, NBA franchises have realized, hey, just stack your best players and let them play positionless basketball. And if you got to play small, play small. You'd rather have the best players and the greatest talent than them fitting as a puzzle together. The Suns went the other way, and it has worked and paid off huge dividends. And Ayton being a big in the middle right now that can eat up an undersized Clippers team has been a big key to the last two wins of the Suns. And so him finishing off the win last night with that inbounds play is kind of poetic justice, that it was Ayton who has been a monster in this postseason, who has worked really hard to do it and to become better, and has been coached up really well by Monty and that Sun staff to be a winner. It's pretty cool that he ends up getting the flush to finish off game two and give the Suns two wins without Chris Paul. We had that story yesterday pop up that Stephen A. Smith got a text message about Ben Simmons. And now the Simmons, can you trade him? Should you trade him? Do you have to trade him? Will you get pennies on the dollar? Is he broken permanently? All of this type of stuff is going to swirl this entire offseason about Simmons. Reportedly, they're going to try to change his hands in terms of shooting from one side to the other, and that they've already been tinkering with this. I think it's a mistake not to play in the Olympics. I think that's the perfect lab to work on your game. But Stephen A. reported yesterday that he received a text message from somebody, quote, very, very close to the situation in Philly, and that Ben Simmons, quote, doesn't work, doesn't listen, and everybody around him is family. He's constantly babied. Hard to know what that means, somebody very, very close to the situation. Does that mean a front office person? Does that mean an assistant coach? Does that mean a teammate? Who's somebody very, very close? Does that mean a media member that knows the inner workings? That's pretty vague there. I think the outcry that I've heard over they have to trade him is overblown. Because what does that mean? They have to trade him. He can't play again in a Sixers uniform. That what? That fans will turn into barbarians and storm the castle at the Wells Fargo Center, torch the place, set it on fire if they ever see Ben Simmons in a Sixers uniform again? That he will be booed so mercilessly that they'll have to actually shut down the arena, turn off the lights, and force everybody to go home? I mean, literally, you don't have to do anything. That Daryl Morey didn't have to trade Ben Simmons, that he comes back next year. And of course, there's an anchor around his neck because everybody remembers what happens in the playoffs and everybody remembers what he wasn't able to accomplish. And he might never be a great shooter, might never be a great offensive player, might end up being Chuck Knoblauch. But you don't have to do anything. You can't say he can't ever play for this franchise ever again. That's kind of those crazy hot lava takes that we all do in this industry as soon as something happens. And Ben Simmons happened, and Ben Simmons was a disaster, and Ben Simmons was one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, that the Sixers are not playing anymore in the Eastern Conference Finals. But Morey also has to make a smart strategic move, and trading away a former number one pick who's at his nadir, at his lowest selling point, wouldn't be very smart either. I think the bigger question is something that this text message to Stephen A. Smith might allude to, on whether Ben Simmons is being coddled by the Sixers, or if he's been coddled his entire career. And that's a different situation here. Because if Ben Simmons has grown up with a bunch of family members telling him how great he is, if Ben Simmons played in Australia in his formative years, and or at least some of them, and ended up playing against lesser competition or being the big fish or being the American star in Australia, that perhaps he always thought he was destined or the chosen one or what have you, and that he's always going to kind of feel maybe above the fray. And that if you don't coach him hard, and if you are not on him, and if he is not taking to hard coaching or will tune you out, then there might not be any improvement for him. I think it's a little overblown to be like, oh, the Sixers can't bring him back. They have to trade him. He's dead in the water in Philadelphia because of this. Yeah, it's a tough town. They don't forgive easily. And this is a painful exit. He's also made the All-Star team 3 years in a row. The Sixers faithful were also cheering him like he was the second coming every time he hit a free throw to try to build up his confidence. You know, it's not as though there's no room for that fan base to embrace him again if he did help himself and change. The difference is he willing to be coached? We don't know that because we're not inside his head. And are the Sixers willing to push? And we don't know that. If they are, to make him better, to make him great, again, he's already a three-time All-Star, and he's, what, 25 years old, 24 years old. I mean, he's a three-time All-Star at 24. You can't tell me that everything is broken and that you have to just get rid yourself of him. The issue is, can his teammates believe in him? Do his coaches believe in him? And are they willing to push him, and is he willing to be pushed? And if he's not, well, then this might be the final act of his career. I find that hard to believe, though, at 24, he's a finished product. The worry is, just like so many other lottery picks and AAU stars and high school studs, is that you've been told you've been great since you were 14 years old, maybe earlier. And if you were told you were awesome at everything since you were 14, including by professionals around you and the adoring public at large, guess what you start believing? That you're great. Man, we all have that friend or somebody that we went to school with or a family member whose parents coddled them, told them they were great, told them that they were going to be the next great thing, that everything that they do is awesome, that they're the greatest artist or musician that the world has ever seen, that they're awesome at sports, that they're the best, the most handsome, the prettiest, what have you. And they grow up with a huge ego, and they are unwilling to be told that they're not great. A lot of only children are this way because they don't have that natural combativeness and rivalries that come with having brothers and sisters. So is Ben Simmons ready for that? That's the question. And if he's ready for it, he's a three-time All-Star and can be an All-Star for a long time in his career. If he's not, then they've hit a break point with him. When we come back here on the show, Mraz has Canadian bacon the night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, plus all the puns fit to print. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive! Ah, ah, ah.
It was Game 5 in Vegas last night between the Canadiens and the Golden Knights. We feel alive! I've! Mraz, take it away.
All right, DA, the heavily favored Vegas Golden Knights found themselves in a very unexpected, all-tied-up, two-games-apiece series as we headed back to the Strip. The theatrics of the Golden Knights opened to hit the ice played. The energy was palpable. And then Montreal would have none of it as they jumped out to a 2-0 lead. The only slots being won were by Montreal forwards in the Vegas end of the ice. Midway through the third period with the score tied at 2. With the score 2-0, the Golden Knights faced a crucial penalty kill. However, the birds began swarming. Caw-caw! 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 Field delivers!
Toffoli into the zone. Corey Perry to Caulfield. He gave it away to Mark Stone. 50 left in the Ford power play. Stone to the line. Knocked loose. Turned back the other way. Breakaway. Corey Perry trying to get some speed. Caulfield shoots and scores! Perry to Caulfield. 3-0 Montreal.
That call courtesy of Martin McGuire on the Canadiens Radio Network. Yes, Cole Caulfield put the Knights to bed as the 3-0 lead would be too much to crawl out of. The Canadiens would cruise on to a stunning 4-1 victory on the road. Price carried the Habs in net with 26 saves. Vegas has gotten just 4 goals in this entire series from their forwards. Pete DeBoer's head tried to come up with some meat as to how his team could lose this game.
Hard to explain. You know, we didn't have great legs, didn't have great execution. You have to give them credit. I thought they played a real good road game, and then obviously falling behind early against that team is tough. That's not a formula for success.
Unbelievably, the Golden Knights have 2 more losses in Vegas in this series alone than Floyd Mayweather does in his entire career. Game 6 shifts back north of the border Thursday, where the Canadiens will look to make their first Stanley Cup final appearance since 1993, before Connor Green was even born. That is your Canadian bacon.
Oink, oink. Oink, oink.
Time now for everybody's favorite game show, America's Got Bacon, where we grade out Mraz's puns. That's a good Mayweather joke / stat. It's true. More losses in Vegas than Floyd Mayweather. Nice job, Mraz.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Bogues, you like that?
I did. I like facts. It fit in nicely. That was well played. I would never have thought of that, but that's a good job from Sean.
Thank you.
The Canadiens would have nothing of it. I also liked. Might be a little tough for some listeners to have heard of that difference. HAB versus have, HAVE, but have nothing of it. Have none of it. I like that. Bogues, you also?
Absolutely.
The slots being won, pretty good because you wrote it well, but it was a little low-hanging fruit because you've used a lot of Vegas casino gambling puns over the course of these postseason series. So I thought it was kind of easy picking. Bogues, your thoughts?
I was confused by this one. I thought it was a little twisty in the wording. And I like, do you say the only slots were being won? Is that the correct? And I'm not a gambler. I've only played slots maybe three times in my life. I don't know what the right verb is to say, but do you say winning slots, the only slots being won? I wasn't sure if that made sense. It didn't make sense to me, but that might be my fault, not Sean's.
I mean, to be fair, folks, I was, you know, trying to make a cross reference to the forwards coming through the slot and obviously beating the Vegas defenseman. And then obviously slot machines in Vegas. That's all.
There must have been something like the forwards were owning the slots, like, you know.
You know, grandma does.
Right. Or Vince Vaughn did in Swingers or something like this.
Hey, that's if there was a better joke to be had, I missed it, and shame on me.
Now, let's get to the two biggies here. As Pete DeBoer's head tried to come up with some meat, I know that you're going for the Boar's Head reference, but nobody ever says a coach or a player came up with some meat at his press conference. That's not a thing. It's not a phrase.
It's not, and I screwed up my script. It was supposed to say some meat on the bone. As to how his team, like, you know, kind of give you a meaty answer. And then as I read it, I realized I didn't finish the joke, but there was no turning back, and I didn't want to stumble anymore because I had stumbled earlier.
It would have been better if you said Pete DeBoer had meat on the bone in his post-game press conference.
It absolutely would have been, but again, here I am getting caught up in my own, ooh, this is good, but I overword it because I love how good it is. Pete
but also,
DeBoer's head tried to come up with some meat as to how his team would could lose this game.
Oh, see, God.
You see, oh, as God. I stumbled over how, you could tell, I'm like, oh, no, I missed finishing the joke.
But you also said tried to come up with. He tried to come up with some meat on the bone?
He's searching for answers. How could his team be down 3-2 to this team?
I mean, the good news for you is you got me just with Pete DeBoer's head. I stopped listening after that, so I missed it fall apart. I liked it at the beginning.
Here's the issue. My cold cut line from Pete DeBoer earlier in the postseason was so good.
Yeah.
But if I go back to it there, I get crushed by you guys on America's Got Bacon. Crushed. We've heard this. We need new material. So here I am. How could I reword a similar kind of joke and try to avoid getting crushed for just going back to the same old, same old?
Pete DeBoer said earlier in the postseason was a huge winner. Huge. But, you know, a lot of your puns like this one remind me of those old black and white newsreel footages of the people trying to build the first airplane. And, like, they think they've got it, and they, like, run a bicycle with wings off of a cliff. And then it's like, and they fly for 2 seconds, and then they crash. And that's where the Pete DeBoer said, trying to come up with some meat on the bone, it just really unraveled. But then finally, I mean, this was obviously the coup de grace, the icing on the cake. Caulfield scores, and it causes you to do a caw-caw, caw-caw, caw-caw before the goal. Take me through the thinking here.
All right, so the Montreal Canadiens are up 2-0 in this game. All right, this is a huge moment. There's a huge power play. If they get this penalty kill, they have some life. But if the Canadiens score a goal here, Vegas is done. So usually when you see, you know, the team, the dead carcass, right? The birds, the vultures are swarming. A bird makes a sound of a caw-caw, caw-caw. The guy who ends up delivering the goal is Cole Caulfield. So I try to play off that last name into the birds swarming over the dead body. The birds began swarming. Caw-caw, 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 Field delivers. The birds began swarming. Caw-caw, 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 Field delivers.
When you say the birds began swarming, it could be an Alfred Hitchcock film, not necessarily vultures circling a carcass. The birds began swarming? And do vultures make that sound?
Caw-caw. When you hear caw-caw, like, do you assume bird? I mean, we're teaching
caw-caw.
My daughter animal sounds now. That's
yes,
a bird
but not
sound.
Every bird circles a carcass.
Caw-caw.
Like, a robin doesn't do that.
I mean, look, I could have gone with lump of coal or Santa Claus reference. Cole Caulfield, I tried to be very, very innovative here and give you a little bird sound.
Caw!
That's original, if nothing else.
The good news is you really lead into the caw. You don't stumble through it. You don't try to race through it. You really lead into it, and it's a very good caw, I have to tell you. It's a sharp caw and then a long caw.
Caw!
Yeah, and you get a high note there. Your caw actually is excellent. I just don't know if it works here with the birds are circling.
The birds began swarming. Caw! Caw! Caw!
The birds began
caw! 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 Field delivers!
The birds began swarming.
Caw! Now, this is, to me, was a little bit of a hat tip to Chris Berman in prime time. Here, Hakeem. You know, that was kind of like what I was going for. And I do have to say, I was very relieved when I saw the show rundown that we were doing Canadian bacon this late in the show, because I wasn't sure how my voice would respond. And we could talk about the Mayweather line, the Pabs, all this. This Canadian bacon was going to sink or swim with caw, caw, caw field. That was my big, that was the big thing I was getting up for. Yep. I spent the last 3 hours excited to deliver this with my voice. So, look, you guys can hate it all you want. I'm going to rest easy on the pillow tonight knowing I delivered that line the way I wanted to.
It was the lottery pick that you were going to build the franchise around, the caw. Bogues, was it a busted draft pick, or did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, it feels more like Jameis Winston, right? Like, there are some issues, there's some high notes, maybe there's something coming down the road. It's not Jamarcus Russell, that's for sure, but it ain't Peyton Manning either. So it's yeah. Somewhere in the middle, because I'm with you, like, you sold it well, you yep. performed it better than any of us would have done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you loved doing it, and that was audibly noticeable. I just don't know that it fit perfectly, because again, it's like this weird, like, reverse engineered habit where you start with the joke, like,
right? Yeah,
because I had the same thing that DA did when you said the birds. I'm immediately thinking Hitchcock. So, like, where are we going here? What does this mean? And then you're cawing out of nowhere. And truth be told, like, that would not have been my first line of jokes off of Cole Caulfield. Like, isn't it Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye? Like, there's yes. there's some other nerdy things I could have gone to, like Cole Oven, which would have fit into the show because you still have one of those Cole Ovens in your house, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's how you guys cook. So, like, it came out of nowhere. It wasn't bad, but I think, as usual, it wasn't as good as you thought it was.
It's a noble effort because you yes. lead into a ridiculous sound bite and sound effect. It just, once again, your writing upends you. Like, yesterday, Bogus put on a clinic with writing. You should just
Here
listen to
go.
Bogus's writing. No, seriously. Because Bogus' writing, and me and Bilotti were talking about this not only during America's Got Bacon, but also off air. Like, Bogues is such a good broadcast writer that he writes to jokes and writes to this so well that it's so smooth. It's like you didn't even realize he just hit you with a joke. You, Marez, your writing is so clunky that your punchline is everything. But getting there is just this kind of meandering path through a thicket. And you're like, where are we going? How are we getting there?
Where am I?
And like, again, he tried to come up with some meat. Is that what you said? Like, that's not yes. a phrase. Nobody has ever said he tried to come up with some meat. He tried to come up with some meat.
Pete DeBoer's head that tried to come up with some meat as
that's
to how his team would lose this game.
Naturally talk, and that's not how writing works. It's just it adds too many words. It's just it's. Really bizarre. It reminds me a lot of when Marco Belletti does the ding, ding, dong, dong, ding, ding. Like, that's your writing into all of these jokes. The birds were the birds were swarming. And you're like, okay, there might be a Hitchcock thing here. And then that's the way you would lead into vultures are circling. And vultures don't make the caw sound anyway.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. You had your birds wrong and everything.
You guys are right in that I go with the joke before I do the writing around it. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes you just got to pigeonhole something in there. And by sometimes, I mean every single day.
I did like his opening sentence, though.
Which was?
It was very run-on.
All right, DA, the heavily favored Vegas Golden Knights found themselves in a very unexpected, all-tied-up, two-games-apiece series.
A very unexpected, all-tied-up series. Again, it's just the clunkiest writing ever.
I write for how it's supposed to make sense to me. That's how I write.
Which is the problem.
Which should remind us, we're about 2 months away from Up the Gut, folks.
With bacon.
I will say, Canadian bacon, though, every day makes me really laugh, so... I guess who cares if it's really bad? It's just
midway
awesome.
Through the third period with the score tied at two. I mean, I'm sorry, with the score 2-0.
Hoot hoot.
The score tied at 2-0.
Cool.
Okay. Bogues has our Bogues has our headline this week.
Cool.
Paul George twice gave the Clippers the lead in the final minute of Game 2 of the Western Conference Final, but then he failed to extend that lead, missing two free throws, which would have put LA up 3 in the final seconds in Phoenix. So only down 1, the Suns got an out-of-bounds alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton with 7:10 left for a 104-103 win and a 2-0 series lead. Ty Lue forgiving PG-13.
It happens. You know, it's not his fault. Without him, we wouldn't be in the game anyway. So I made some big plays down the stretch. And, you know, like I said, they made a big play at the end for Aiden's dunk to win the game.
George also missed 13 field goals last night, including 7 of 8 threes. He played 41 minutes with Kawhi Leonard still out. So Lou was asked if George might be run down.
He looked pretty tired tonight. You know, whenever he's taking a lot of jump shots, not really attacking, you know, you could tell he's a little tired. But, you know, he wants to win. And he said, Coach, whatever I need to do, I'm ready to do it. And, you know, we needed him tonight, you know, every bit of it.
Only today is an off day, then game 3 at Staples Center tomorrow night. The Suns reportedly optimistic that Chris Paul will be out of COVID protocols by then. The Pistons have the first pick for the first time since 1970 after last night's draft lottery. The Rockets will pick second after having the worst record this season. The Cavs, Raptors, and Magic complete the top 5. And the families of the victims in the Kobe and Gianna Bryant helicopter crash have settled a lawsuit with the estate of the pilot and the copter company. Details not known yet. The agreement is pending court approval. In non-Canadian bacon news, Islanders forward Matt Barzal avoids suspension for cross-checking Tampa Bay's Jan Ruda in the face in Game 5. Barzal fined the max of $5,000. Game 6 tonight on the island with the Lightning one win away from the Stanley Cup Final. It got comical last night in Philly. The Phillies asked for a third sticky stuffed check of Max Scherzer because Joe Girardi thought Scherzer was rubbing his hair too much. Scherzer was angry, which led to him staring down the Phillies dugout.
I'd have to be an absolute fool to actually use something tonight when everybody's antennas out of, you know, everybody's antennas, you know, so far high to look for anything. So, you know, it is what it is, whatever. Turn the page, move on.
Eventually, there was yelling between dugouts, which brought Girardi onto the field, apparently ready to fight someone, but he got ejected instead. The Nats won the game 3-2. Padres beat the Dodgers again 3-2. That's 6 of 9 meetings so far this season. Milwaukee a 5-0 win in Arizona, and the Braves shut out the Mets for the second consecutive game 3-0. The Astro win streak is 9 after a 3-1 final in Baltimore. The Rays took a 9-5 loss in 11 from the Red Sox, but top prospect Wander Franco homered in his debut, and the A's took care of the Rangers 13-6. Another step towards college football playoff expansion yesterday. FBS commissioners given permission to launch a summer review phase to iron out all the details of going to 12 teams. And U.S. Women's Soccer just revealed its 18-player roster for the Olympics in Tokyo next month. Carly Lloyd, at 39, officially becomes the U.S.'s oldest ever women's soccer Olympian. She and Tobin Heath are going to their fourth games. Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Kelly O'Hara, Crystal Dunn, among the obvious names on this list as well. DA, back to you.
When we come back, advanced analytics and your epic fail. Who is to blame for last night's Clippers loss? And a big announcement for tomorrow's show, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Who's most to blame for last night's Clippers loss as Paul George takes the brunt of it? 42% said bad defense, 41% said Paul George, and only 17% said Ty Lue. So most of you guys blaming, at least by a small margin, the defense on the inbounds play and Paul George. Ty Lue has a reported net worth of $25 million. Paul George is a big fishing fan, once won a competition catching 20 pounds of fish with a partner. And in 1991, Mraz went headfirst into a fish tank at his sister's first birthday party. The Sultan of Sodium needed 14 stitches. Bob the Deli Man put the fish in the toilet while repairs were being made. However, Mraz's aunt needed to use the bathroom, and the fish were flushed to their death. I can't believe that I have to wrap up a show with that anecdote, and I can't get into it without sufficient time, but that really needs a deep dive. The big announcement for tomorrow is Aiden, our assistant helping out of the show, who attends Marquette, is in Milwaukee and will be covering tonight's games for us, or tonight's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals and game two Friday. He's going to do man on the street interviews in the Deer District. That's right. They have that outdoor viewing area we see on TV to watch the Bucks games outside the arena. Aiden's going to be there asking Bucks fans for their takes on things. So tomorrow we will have man on the street from Milwaukee, opinions and takes on the Eastern Conference Finals. This should be excellent. So make sure you stick around right here because it's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to be right in the middle of things, in the thick of things, in the Deer District. Hooves up. Hooves up, baby. So let's get to your epic fail of the morning. Mraz, what do you got for your fail?
The fail has to be the eventual new Marvel superhero, Jeff the Giant.
Okay, here he is. Tall Jeff, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Because I feel like you don't see it anymore. I don't. The only references to Giants I see anymore are in San Francisco and New York.
Because
I'm
you're
serious.
Not for reading
not
books and watching cartoons. That's why you don't see it, because you're not a child anymore in certain areas.
I have a child, 18 months old. Taylor hasn't come across a giant outside of Daniel Jones.
So you think that it's possible in 6 to 8 years, Taylor is wondering, Dad, what are the Giants named after? What is it?
Yes!
That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister.
They've been pushed to the edges of our society. It's time for us to bring them back and give them the respect they deserve. You know, it's always about representation. Where's the representation for Giants now that Andre has passed away?
It's true. Get, you know, come on. You got Spider-Man. Give me Giant Man.
Ho, ho, ho.
We're all part of one universe.
Give Giant me Man. Worst superhero ever, Giant Man.
What does he do?
The next awful Marvel box office bomb. It's Giant Man.
How is that a bomb? Jeff he can stomp things out. He can reach, you know, the highest thing. You wouldn't need a forklift to get at the store. He can do a lot of things.
But I'm done running from my past.
Go to Costco, get that thing right off the top.
Folks, did you just say it's Tall Jeff versus Black Panther?
I did.
Oh my god, that's brilliant. Oh my god, that's so brilliant. The Marvel Universe comes together for another crossover. Summer 2024 blockbuster. It's Tall Jeff. A.K.A. Giant Man.
The Big Ragu.
Versus
Iron Man. Who beats Thanos? Tall Jeff.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Interesting also, as I was talking about Ben Simmons earlier this hour, Aaron tweets, DA, are you still talking about Ben Simmons, or did you switch back to describing Mraz's childhood? These similarities are eerie. Hashtag unpipe it. Billy in RVA says, is this monologue about Ben Simmons or a reprise of yesterday's conversation about Mraz? Hashtag coddled. We were talking about how Mraz was just belly aching all through Monday's show because he was sick, that he's out from work, and he always kind of needs a pat on the back. Has oftentimes publicly said he needs a cookie to stay motivated. Oh. And we wondered where that came from. And I think that also deserves a deep dive, Mraz, of if you would admit that your childhood was being coddled by your parents.
I actually think the complete opposite. I was never coddled. I was left out to dry.
And you think that's why now you... Well, Danielle does everything for you these days.
Get lost, she does everything for me. Tell her to talk to a contractor for once at my house. Take a lap with that take.
Danielle told me she does all the finances.
Yeah, because she wants to. Not because I can't.
Well,
she doesn't food shop or do laundry. I'm not going to settle for that take. She can be very lazy.
Feels like that needs a deep dive tomorrow as well. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti, Will the Steel and audio director, Andrew Bogish on your headlines, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We'll see you tomorrow at the Mothership Disconnect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.